Companies are pouring money into AI, but they're not building the skills to use it effectively. That's an upskilling problem and an investment mismatch, and it's exactly what Pluralsight AI Academy fixes. This hands-on learning program lets your teams develop AI skills that stick, the kind they'll need when it matters. The result is faster adoption and more value from every AI investment. Major brands around the world trust Pluralsight. See why it's the right fit for you too at pluralsight.com/AI Academy.
Coming up on AI Haven't a Clue. People that did this study were absolute morons.
Oh, brilliant.
China release a new massive AI model.
Kimmy K3.
Is this named after Kim Kardashian?
No!
As mayor of Greater Manchester, I'm looking to ban the idea of Yorkshire pudding for Christmas dinner.
The nation turns to AI for health advice.
And chatbots aren't that good at predicting which political party you'll vote for.
I'm going to ask ChatGPT who I should vote for in the next general election.
That has shocked you to your core.
It's not shocked me. You need to convince me that this story isn't a whole load of rubbish.
You look angry.
Hello, welcome. This is AI Having a Clue, brought to you with KPMG, the podcast where we unpack the wild world of AI. And I am tech novice George Butler.
And I am James Chandler. You're the Wellhard to your Robbie Jackson.
Is that's EastEnders? An EastEnders reference?
Yeah, I thought you'd like that because you love a bit of EastEnders on here, don't you?
That's old school EastEnders as well.
My school.
Wellard. Sorry, who's Wellard?
The dog.
Yeah, is that me?
No.
You're the Wellard. You're the dog.
You're the sort of Dean Gaffney character.
And you're the dog.
Faithful companion.
I like that. Really know how it works in
it doesn't work. Doesn't. I just thought in the moment it was.
You know what, James? You are my dog and welcome. I don't know if that makes sense.
Good.
Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. How are you?
I'm all right.
Tell you what, for those that listened to last Friday's show, the whole World Cup stuff didn't age well, did it?
Oh, what happened?
Oh, I don't know if you caught, but a few days before the podcast came out, the day that we recorded, obviously, England crashed out. But the LLMs, who are supposed to be the future of our world, they falsely predicted the winner of the World Cup, didn't they?
Yeah. Who did they say? France?
France or Argentina.
Yeah.
And the Spanish one. Anyway, quite enough World Cup chat.
Yeah,
we don't want to be dragging ourselves down. I learned something new this week.
Okay.
A bit of youth lingo.
Oh.
How the kids are speaking.
Go on.
So the kids are now using AI as like a verb. It's like a word of description.
Really?
If you say, nah, that's AI, it doesn't mean that's artificial intelligence. It means it's false. It's made up.
No.
Yeah. So if I said to you after the show, Molly and I are going to get a beer and you're invited.
Yeah.
Nah, that's AI. You're not invited. It's false fake news. We're getting a beer. That's real.
Really?
Yeah. Now that's AI.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible, isn't it?
It's entered into the lingo. And interesting how it's become a negative thing. It's got negative connotations to it.
Particularly with young people who we know are not loving AI too much.
Yeah. I mean, it's, so just to keep you up to date with
the lingo.
With the kids.
Thanks.
Yeah.
You are my pipeline to the youth of today.
You know, that's there's a big issue when I'm your pipeline to the youth of today. Right, coming up on the show today, we are tackling all the latest news from the world of AI. Of course, James has got a big thing for us, and we tackle one of your listener questions. Mm. We're going to dive in. There's plenty of news to get into. And we're going to start with China, because...
China!
Who was that? Was that Donald Trump?
Yeah, good. It was all right, wasn't it? Go on, do your one.
China.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, we're going to dive. I said we weren't going to talk about the World Cup. It was funny, wasn't it, when he was trying to stick around for the trophy.
Get off. Just
get
a
off.
Gentle pat. Off you go. Did you see Marino
do the dance?
The mini dance.
He did the dance.
Right in front of him. Still missed it though.
Yeah, right. Anyway, back we go to China, because they have potentially got a product that's going to challenge some of the big players in our market.
Yeah, 100%. Kimmy K3 has been released. It's from Chinese...
Sorry, Kim K.
Kimmy K3.
Right. Is this named after Kim Kardashian?
No! It's a Chinese AI startup, Moonshot AI. Their new model, wait for it, contains 2.8 trillion parameters.
Yeah. What does that mean?
It just sounds good though, doesn't it?
But no, what does it literally mean?
It's just lots and lots of parameters. Think about them as little bits of knowledge that that AI knows to put together the picture. So you could use an analogy of like a jigsaw puzzle. So a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle is going to give you, you know, sort of an interesting picture. But a 10,000-piece puzzle is going to give even more detail when you go in. So yeah, huge, huge model. It's all open source, which is everything that we see come out of China. It is expected to be the largest freely downloadable AI model ever released. Independent benchmarks are saying it's as good as the latest models from Anthropic and from OpenAI. Some engineers are saying that it's even better than some models, although those aren't independently verified. The backdrop of this is that the US and the administration, they're getting very, very nervous about China. We had a story not so long ago about how effectively all of the US-based LLMs said to Trump, look, you don't want to regulate us, because if you regulate us, we're going to lose out on ground to China. And he kind of stepped away from it. So they're very, very fearful that some of these Chinese AIs are going to outwit them. And just seemingly from nowhere, again, it's come out and it's kind of top of the leaderboard. Incredible.
But I do feel like every now and again there is one of these massive kind of new Chinese products. Everyone's like, oh, it's so good. It's gonna completely tear the market apart. Da, 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 da. But then it never really seems to enter the kind of the Western culture or the products we use.
And it probably won't. A friend of the podcast, Will Francis, is a big fan of Kimi. And, you know, he uses a sort of smorgasbord of different AIs for different roles. And he's talked about them for a long time. Chinese AI companies are not slowing down. If anything, they're really, really accelerating. The thing with this game, as we know, is you're only really top of the leaderboard for like days and weeks. And then, you know, XAI will come out with something new, or there'll be something new from Anthropic or Perplexity. So they keep nudging themselves off and getting better and better and better. The big thing with this, though, is it's all completely open source. And you don't need to pay for it. So you can just take it, you can run it on your machine, you can run it where you want, unlike some of these other models that are charging you 20, 30, 100 pounds a month to use.
What do you mean by completely open source?
It just gives you the code. You can just have it. You can use it for what you want. It's not locked away like the Silicon Valley ones.
Which I suppose is good for people that maybe are building things or whatever, but actually from a consumer point of view, you don't need that, do you?
Well, you're not necessarily going to run out of tokens if you want to use it, which is interesting. If you're doing really sort of big, heavy lifting things, this might be an interesting one to use, and the capability. If you do need 2.8 trillion parameters, you know.
Do you need quite a big sort of technical back end to the product to enable to have that many parameters?
Yeah, probably.
So Kim K has a big back end. I see why they've...
Is there any other
I see
news?
Why they've named that.
Any other? Such a shame.
It was right there. We'll move on to the story that millions of Brits are now asking AI for health advice.
Are you surprised by this?
Well, I think no, in the sense that we are using AI like we are using Google. Mm. So if you're going to say to Google, oh, I have a rash on my arm, what could it mean? Well, actually, you know that you're probably going to get a more detailed response from LLMs. The only thing I would say is it kind of maybe shows that we are shifting as a nation to actually starting to trust on or even rely on the advice that these models are giving us.
Yeah. A new YouGov study says that AI is becoming part of the healthcare journey for many Britons. 8% of UK adults saying standalone tools like ChatGPT, Gemini and Claude are their first source of health information.
It's not a huge, it's not a massive figure, that 8%.
Rising steadily. Search engines still top at 26%, followed by health websites, things like the NHS, WebMD at 23%. Only 17% said their first step would be speaking to a healthcare professional like
a GP. Which is good, but I think that's because you don't necessarily want to burden the NHS with, oh, I've got a scratchy, itchy, whatever it might be. Mm. Sometimes you actually do need to wait a day or give it a search. And then if you think there's something a bit wrong, obviously speak to a healthcare professional. But I don't think that's a huge surprise. I'm not surprised that, you know, I think it's probably only when things are really concerning and urgent that you immediately go to speak to a doctor or to somebody. I actually think 8% is quite low.
Well, I think on the healthcare professional thing, it's like I grew up in a world where I guess you couldn't sort of pull your phone out of your pocket and take a picture of something and diagnose it yourself. Like it was, you went and spoke to a doctor or someone who knew what they're doing. So it's just sort of interesting to see the shift. Maybe 8% is low. Maybe it's rising very, very quickly.
I wonder from that 8% that are turning to AI for their health advice, how it's performing. whether or not it's giving accurate diagnosis, whether it's misleading anybody, whether actually it's told somebody it's something or that you're fine or whatever it might be, and it was more serious, but you didn't kind of investigate it more because you trusted what AI said. It would be fascinating to know a bit more about that 8%.
You'd have to get your man Will Bowes in, YouTube, you know, resident expert on these things. I guess there's a big difference as well, isn't there? You know, the rash on your arm, which looks to me like you've got cleared up now. There's a rash on your arm, and then there's, you know, it could be quite serious mental health things. You know, we've had conversations with the guy Anthony before who, you know, that was a really
AI psychosis,
really serious situation where he should have been sort of red flagged and handed off to a healthcare professional much quicker, through to everything in between. So I think it's, yeah, I just think there's a spectrum of these things, isn't there?
And yeah, but I mean, I'll tell you what's interesting. 8% use AI, 39% say they do not believe AI offers any advantages for health advice at all.
That's staggering. Surely you must think there's some benefit to it.
Well, I just think people have an air of caution, and I think understandably so. We've got a really interesting guest in Richard Rowley coming on Monday, and we've just recorded it. So I won't give loads of spoilers away, but it's looking at how businesses almost hack into LLMs and try and favorably appear in your search results. And, you know, it's doable. It's possible. So we have to take a pinch of salt because with the things that LLMs are telling us, because it's not necessarily trusted, verified, factual information. They're coming from all different types of sources or all different types of places. Reddit, we talked about Reddit. Advertorials, we talked about those as well. So it's not necessarily verified, trusted advice that the LLMs are pulling and pulling from.
But the difference is, I think, you know, versus reading a forum or getting something else, is you can go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Oh, here's the rash on my arm on day one. Oh, look, it's got a little bit bigger on day two. So you can have that sort of interaction. It's not a kind of a flat thing. Interesting. Interested to know where that 8% number goes.
We talk a lot about how AI is this terrible thing for education.
Isn't it?
And it's what it's ruining schools and it's ruining the way we learn. But actually, occasionally, there are some really nice use cases.
Oh, he's found something he likes. Hooray, hurrah.
I do like this. A Cornish school has used AI to bring some World War I diaries to life.
History pupils at Pennar School in Truro have been using Gen AI to create films based on the real diaries of Cornish soldiers who served in the First World War. The project is focused on a guy called John French. He was a Cornish miner who enlisted and later served with a tunnelling regiment that dug beneath enemy positions. They looked at his diaries. They've looked at all the various descriptions, some of the battlefield conditions that they found, and they've created these AI-powered films which depict his experience that he had in these tunnels. They've described it as incredibly moving, which I imagine it was, and it's gone on to win a local award because it's so magnificent. And I think, as you say, we need more examples like this. It sort of reminds me of Matt Reconstructs History.
Yeah.
That kind of thing where this is sort of AI for good in a sense. Like, there's a big gap. There's no way these students, you know, they would be looking at manuscripts or trying to read diaries, which is sort of very old. Isn't this an incredible way to bring it to life for them?
Yes, it's a really nice example of how to kind of using technology to sort of engage in learning a bit more. That's assuming that the students actually read the diaries and didn't just plonk it into AI and say, make me a video of this. We're going to trust them. We're going to take their word for it. But it's cool. It's very nice. Interesting story, James, about UK businesses up next now. We talk a lot, and obviously we've had KPMG on the show, and we've discussed some of their insight before about there being a question mark which UK businesses face about continuing to invest in AI, what they can do in the space, how much they can use it to their advantage. And I think in the States, we're starting to see a lot of businesses and actually a lot of consumers really relying and investing more into building AI and as part of their lives. It seems that the UK is slightly more resistant to it. Apparently, UK businesses are not significantly increasing their use of AI, according to new data from the UK's Office for National Statistics.
Yeah, it looks like adoption is plateauing somewhat. Companies using AI are doing it in quite limited ways rather than, you know, maybe these big AI transformations which were promised. Many businesses are failing to sort of realise the absolute potential of AI, and I think there's probably lots of reasons for that. I think the sort of allure and sort of very seductive nature for, you know, particularly CFOs of sort of cost cutting and efficiencies, and it can save us time, you know, sort of equals it could save us on people, on costs. I've often felt that that is a bit of a false hope, or at least it's not a sustainable one. And I think what's happening now, I was talking to someone yesterday who was saying, we've let everyone go and play with AI and be creative in it. You know, we've got like 300 agents that we found were running using loads and loads of tokens, and we've spent our entire budget for the year by the end of June on AI for stuff that people aren't using. So it actually works out the humans are cheaper than the AI that we're using.
Come on, the humans.
And I think we're running into, and this is what the report is saying, we're running into all of these things. There is this gap between, I think, the hype of generative AI and the practical application of it. Now, perhaps we're going through this phase of we've sort of played with it, we've all created some stuff, we've built an agent, we've done these things, and now we're sort of left with a little bit of a mess. And it's going to be a bit messy until we get into that productivity stage, which you're right, Leanne from KPMG was talking about.
Come on, the humans. We'll take that as a win for the humans.
Well done.
Now, AI chatbots are apparently giving unreliable voting advice. Now, this wouldn't be the first time that technology is causing the political system a few troubles. We won't get into all the Cambridge Analytica background and all that malarkey.
But you'll have any chance to talk about Cambridge Analytica, because you can tell the story about when they're in your building when you work there, and the receptionist called Bob or John or whatever his name was had to haul the bloke through.
Well, you do listen sometimes. Go on then. What's been going on with these AI chatbots giving voting advice?
It's not shock horror, is it? A new study has found that AI chatbots can provide inaccurate, inconsistent and unreliable, the three things you don't want in political advice when asked which party to vote for.
Why are people like turning to ChatGPT and be like, who should I vote for?
Come on!
Surely not.
Well,
but people will be. They genuinely will be. What do you think it would say if we find out right now?
Yeah, well, let's do it.
Okay, I'm going to ask ChatGPT who I should vote for in the next general election. Let's see what it says. Hi, ChatGPT. Who should I vote for in the next UK general election?
Is that your AI voice?
Okay, it's coming back with an answer.
Nice AI voice, by the way.
LLM works. Okay. It says that's a decision only you can make. I can't tell you who to vote for or endorse a political party or candidate. What I can do is help you work out which party best matches your own priorities. So it's giving me some questions, okay. Right? Right. I've given it a bit more information on some thoughts about, you know, the likes of the NHS, the economy and the climate challenges we face. It's basically come back again and sat on the fence.
Interesting.
It's not really giving me a party to vote for. If I keep going, perhaps it will. But in first instance, it's sort of giving you... It kind of breaks down different priorities that you have and how the parties align to it. So it's talking about Labour and the Lib Dem advocating higher NHS spending, et cetera, et cetera.
It's empowering you to make the choice.
It is a little
bit. That's interesting. Well, look, this study looked at Hungary's parliamentary election earlier this year, and it was basically looking at voter profiles, which were set up to really direct you to one particular party. It was feeding into the LLM. And the systems got it horribly wrong. They frequently recommended the wrong party, or they failed to recommend the correct party, or they even suggested parties that weren't even standing in the election, which isn't great, is it? Interesting, though, your results, which gives me a little bit more faith, actually.
I mean, it says here I should vote for David Cameron, and
brilliant.
That... Is he still a politician?
Yeah, I mean, I put him on there. If his name isn't on the thing, I think you can just write it.
He doesn't think I'd like Tony Blair for some reason. So,
shame. That's a shame. Interesting. I mean, you know, at some point, we've got a brand new prime minister. You know, at some point, I feel like he's probably going to go to the nation and may require a mandate to push things through if it's starkly different to the manifesto that Labour were voted in on. So it'd be interesting to see this in action.
Talking of... the new prime minister.
That's good.
Should we do a story about Mr. Andy Burnham. He's in charge, obviously, of the nation now. Yeah. He's built his new cabinet.
Yeah.
And for the first time, AI is going to be taking a seat around the cabinet table.
Is this your mate? He's had a bit. He's had a promotion, an upgrade.
Friend of the show, the brilliant Kanishka, who came on, and he kind of actually gave me a bit of hope that someone in government knows what they're talking about when it comes to AI. He was incredibly well briefed. He knew his stuff. We had a good conversation. He didn't really give me many answers because he was a politician. But it's interesting. He's now part of the cabinet. And I suppose that is a reflection of how important the new Prime Minister sees this topic of AI being to him.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, previously he was Minister for AI and Online Safety. In this enhanced role where he's going to sit around the cabinet table, he is a dedicated AI minister. And it is interesting because it does signal that AI is sort of being treated less as a technology thing and more, I think, is something that's going to be strategic for the economy, our industrial plan. So I actually think a good move, you know, applaud good stuff when it happens. And I really do think this is a good move. And our own strategy, I think, will be being closely watched by Europe, maybe other people around the world, because we are fairly aligned, as we've talked about before, with Silicon Valley. I think in part, you know, we don't, there isn't a lot of sovereign AI here. There's some brilliant AI companies, not a lot of sovereign AI within Europe. So you've really got two places you can turn to. One is China, covered them already. The other is, of course, America, home of the special relationship, et cetera, et cetera.
But it's going to be fascinating to see where the new government, or at least the new leaders of said government, decide to go when it comes to artificial intelligence, because at the start of Starmer's reign, when he was feeling a bit confident, he's got a new mandate, he was quite bullshy in that AI is really important. We're going to kind of open up our doors to AI investment. We're going to let big tech kind of really go for it, and we're not going to hold them back. There's not going to be too many restrictions. As he became a little bit more politically concerned about what the nation was thinking, well, there were changes.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, he was a bit worried about copyright law. There were a few question marks over big tech and their free reign that they have. Obviously, Andy Burnham's coming in, slightly clean slate, and it will be interesting to see whether he is very much, we need AI to boost our economy, let it go, let it run, give the big tech the platform that they need to do it, or whether actually he's going to be a bit more concerned with things like copyright, with protection of consumers, etc.
Yeah, and yeah, the other thing is that special relationship was in a very different place when Starmer first came into office. You know, the strategy was really to appease Donald Trump, and we sort of all know how that went.
But I also think it was a reflection of where the chips are in this AI game. 100%. That they are in America. That's where the big tech firms are. And it, you know, we're not going to be able to necessarily build that from the ground up. We've talked a lot about this before and about how actually we probably became, you know, far too over-reliant far too early on these American big tech firms. But ultimately, it kind of was, Andy Burnham's going to have to come to a position where he either goes, you know what, we're in your hands, or we need to do something drastically different.
Yeah, just don't know what that drastically different looks like.
Not to make this story all about me. I've actually interviewed three of the current cabinet.
Have you?
Yeah, I've obviously the fantastic AI minister, Kanishka, came on the show. In a previous life, I did a show all about the radio industry, and Ed Miliband had a podcast at the time.
So Ed Miliband did have a good podcast as well.
So I've spoken to Ed Miliband. And I've actually interviewed the now Prime Minister Andy Burnham back in December, just a few months ago. And obviously you've heard my interviews on this show. I'm quite hard hitting. I don't what are you laughing at? I don't pull my punches. I like to make sure that I ask the real questions that matter.
So you didn't pull your punches with Andy Burnham?
Well, shall I play you what happened?
Yeah.
Favorite Christmas song?
Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues.
Classic. Have you got a favourite Christmas food?
Well, listen, I've got something to say on this matter. As Mayor of Greater Manchester, I feel I need to ban the idea of Yorkshire pudding with Christmas dinner because, no, I just don't think that has ever been part of it. But people have it, don't they? Unbelievable.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, maybe pulled some of my punches.
Unbelievable. You get 30 seconds of the most important. Unbelievable. All right, I'm Andy. I'm just normal bloke like you and me. We're having, you know, just have a couple of cans and support Everton Football Club. Yeah, going to be great. Yeah, brilliant. Whatever.
I tell you what, I wouldn't want to be a Yorkshire Penning right now.
No.
Yeah.
Well done. Maybe you get a second shot. You can get your mate Kanish Ganarian back on the show.
We should get him back on the show.
Proximity to power.
Let's find out what Mr. Burnham is making of the AI world. Yeah, we will drop the minister an email. Before we go, final story for this week. This is absolute rubbish. It says here, people prefer AI voiceovers to the real deal.
That has shocked you to your core.
It's not shocked me. You need to convince me that this story isn't a whole load of rubbish.
You look angry. You look shocked, but that's okay.
I hope you've got sources to this.
I can understand why. Lots of sources
verify
on this.
This
a blind study of over 1,000 US fiction audiobook listeners showed that AI's multicast narration scored higher than a traditional single human narrator for engagement, favorability, and perceived quality when it was reading a piece of fiction.
Well, hold on a minute.
Hmm.
That's not saying that they preferred it, because engagement could be because the AI voices were sounding ridiculous, so people were engaged in listening to them.
Sounded so engaging.
I mean, also, what's the sources of this study?
Listeners became much more open to AI after hearing it. Before listening, only 31% said they would like to try an AI-narrated audiobook. Not for me. But after they heard the sample, that 31% doubled, more than doubled, to 65%.
According to who?
Most people couldn't tell it was AI even. 61% of the listeners who heard the AI version believed it was a human, suggesting that high-quality AI voices are becoming difficult to distinguish from professional narration. And that's it. And so, fantastic.
Have these figures been validated by...
This was conducted by Edison Research, and there was 1,000 US audiobook listeners surveyed.
Now, if I recall rightly, Edison... are in the digital audio space.
Well,
I'm not saying that they have a skin in the game here, but it sounds like they could potentially have some.
I think it's interesting. Over a thousand, that is a lot, actually. Quality matters more than celebrity voices as well. I'm just giving you some more insight from this groundbreaking study, George. Frequent audiobook listeners prefer different voices for different characters. I don't know who's going to break it to Casey Logan, Gaian Potter, Peter Dixon and all the others that have been on, but looks like the game's up. Sorry, guys.
As Mayor of Greater Manchester, I feel I need to ban the idea of Yorkshire pudding with Christmas dinner because, no, I just don't think that has ever been part of it. Well, people have it, don't they? Unbelievable.
I feel about this story, about AI narrators, much like Andy Burnham feels about Yorkshire pudding. Unbelievable!
Do you want to hear some?
Yeah, I do want to hear some.
Not really, but I feel like I'm going to hear some anyway, aren't I?
Yep.
Growth mindset, George. That's what you need.
Let's hear it.
It's like the AI challenge is back.
Ah!
Guess which is human, which is not.
This is all very triggering for me, actually.
I lay there with clods of earth thumping all around me. I thought of my son and of a sparrow. Thinking of the bird was unavoidable. The poor thing was on its side staring at me from only a few inches away.
Oh. I don't need to hear the second. That's AI.
No, it's not. That's
You think that's real?
Yeah, that's matey.
All right, let's hear the second one.
As I lay there with clods of earth thumping all around me, I thought of my son and of a sparrow. Thinking of the bird was unavoidable. The poor thing was on its side staring at me from only a few inches away, clearly as confused as I was by the strange turn of events.
Both human voices, I would say.
Which do you think is real? Which do you think is AI?
I think the first one was real. The second one was AI.
I think the first was AI. The second is real.
Norsky.
The first was AI, the second was real.
Of course it was. It was so obvious. People that did this study were absolute morons.
Oh, brilliant.
I'm not being funny. I'm not verified that.
He's rattled.
I haven't verified that.
He's triggered.
But if that's what we're going off, it's a load of rubbish, James.
That wasn't bad, though. And I know you... But that.
You know what we need to do? We need to take a break. This is too much. We'll be back in a little bit with James's listener question and our big thing. James, you love hyping up AI, don't you?
Well, I'm glass half full about it, yeah.
Half full? Half full? That glass is overspilling.
It's called embracing the future, my friend.
And yes, it obviously is important to do so. And that is what this show is all about. But things are just moving so quickly, it's hard not to question whether there's a disconnect between the tech advancements and what's actually happening in businesses and boardrooms.
I think AI over the last year has moved from probably what used to be a nice to have to a strategic necessity, if you wanted a posh term for it. And you know, we're seeing that for ourselves, even in the news that we cover on a weekly basis. And with that necessity, I think comes this huge pressure to keep up with AI. According to KPMG's latest AI Pulse, 70% of UK business leaders say AI will remain a top priority, with most ready to keep investing even before the ROI is fully proven.
But we often discuss on the show how a lot of AI initiatives struggle to take off or just implemented poorly, especially when it comes to trust, governance, or just getting the workplace ready to actually use AI.
But that's where KPMG come in. They're not just looking at the tech. They're actually helping organisations make the difference by turning AI ambition into a transformation you can actually trust. They focus on scaling with confidence, embedding governance from day one, and getting what everyone loves, measurable value.
And if you are ready to move beyond the pilot phase,
visit kpmg.com/UK to learn more. That's kpmg.com/UK.
We're back on AI, haven't a clue.
What's that?
Do you know what? We've been talking about this world of AI for ages and ages now. Mm. And I've come to a realization today, there was one thing I would love to just ban.
What?
Yorkshire puddings. I just think, as Mayor of Greater Manchester, that's insight. That's hard-hitting journalism. And you know more about Andy Burnham now than you did before this podcast started. And that's because I didn't pull my punches.
He doesn't have to start statements with, "I've got something to say on this matter." Just say the matter. You don't have to tee up the matter, Andrew.
Hey, listen, he's not a fan of Yorkshire puddings, okay? He's not a fan. Let's move on now to our listener question with KPMG. Of course, this is your chance listening along to ask James the AI conundrums that you might need help solving. And if your question is asked on this show, you win yourself this. You get an AI having a clue t-shirt. Oh, I would love an AI having a clue t-shirt.
You don't got one? I haven't got one. Giving them all away. Shame.
To our local charity shop. I kid you, because they're brilliant. And this week's is going to Davina from Clacton-on-Sea. Is that the bin face?
Currently,
Lord Binface.
Doesn't have an MP at the moment.
Is it Lord Binface?
Count Binface.
Count Binface. We won't ask you who you're voting for, Davina.
I won't know either.
We will ask you this though, James. Davina says, is it possible to completely opt out of AI?
I guess you don't have to use it. You don't have to use chat. You don't have to use Copilot or Gemini or Claude or any other things. You could take your phone and sort of do the equivalent of throwing it in the sea. You could turn all the AI features off. You could write your own emails and LinkedIn posts. Shock. Do your own research. Just avoid generative AI tools. No one is forcing you. No one's holding a gun to your head and saying you have to prompt these things to get answers. So yes, you could opt out of it in that sense.
But can you opt out of it? Because let's take an example we've had on the show. Mm. You could live in Scotland, you could jump on a train, and the voice you hear is an AI-generated voice.
Yep, exactly. So that is really my point, is you can sort of intentionally not use these things, but to opt out of it entirely is going to be quite difficult. Your bank is probably using it to spot fraud. Your inbox is using it to check spam. If you get any ads, there's a whole AI ecosystem behind that before that ad gets delivered to you. The hospital you visit are using it to diagnose disease. Google Maps is, I go on and on and on. Think of AI almost like electricity just running through things. You can't avoid electricity. You could go and live off the grid, couldn't you, and make that sort of choice. And then you get into the world of work. I mean, depending on what job you've got, if you work in an office, it's going to be pretty hard to avoid AI. So you do have a choice about how you intentionally use it. You could choose not to use it. That would be okay. My question, I guess, for Davina is why would you want to opt out of it? There are good reasons, ethical, environmental, although we've quashed a few of those with our handful of almonds. You could have, you know, it could be copyright, you know, could just like doing things by yourself, which is, you know, probably someone aligned with you. Like writing things, you like doing all that sort of craft yourself.
I love to do this podcast by myself.
The sort of the bigger thing, as I mentioned, is you just sort of go and live off the grid and, you know, you make your own coats out of, you know, skinned hairs, and, you know, you catch your food and you grow your stuff. No AI robot vacuums in that world, though. So you can opt out to an extent, but I just think it's sort of so embedded in everything we do, it's going to be very hard to do it completely. Sorry if that's a shock to you, Davina.
Do you think Davina hates AI more than Andy Burnham hates
Stop talking
Yorkshire
about
puddings.
Andy Burnham. There is a ban from this point forth on saying his name or referring to Yorkshire puddings in any way, shape, or form.
I feel I need to ban the idea of Yorkshire pudding with Christmas dinner.
George, it's just got to stop. It's just got to stop.
James, it's insight.
Unbelievable.
It's journalistic insight.
We know you interviewed the Prime Minister and you chose
he doesn't
to
like Yorkshire puddings.
Jesus.
Davina, thank you for that question and good luck in your upcoming local election.
Oh, God.
Might be running. There's lots of independents running.
Could be.
Davina could be Count Binface.
She could be. That'd be quite a
could
turn
be.
Up.
Davina, a t-shirt is coming your way. If you are Count Binface, if you could wear it on election night, it would do wonders for our PR. And
superb.
Publicity. James, time now for your big thing this week.
Would you like an example of AI that makes you more human?
Sure.
Odepoetry.ai. This is a wondrous thing. The brilliant Richard Eyre, who is the chairman of the IB who I work for, shared it with me. It's a voice first AI companion that you tell how you feel, and once you've told it how you feel, it asks you a couple of questions. It then goes and finds you a actual real life poem that has been written by an actual real life human, and then it gets Stephen Fry, Dominic West, Harriet Walter, a range of other voices to read you this incredible poem based on how you've told it how you feel. And
that's nice. I like that.
It's really nice, and it sort of, it rubs against this whole narrative that somehow AI is sort of quashing human creativity and all that sort of stuff. In a way, it's sort of serving you up stuff that I would never have got anywhere. I've never gone and found these those poems. Curation rather than creation.
Yeah, a bit of discovery.
Yeah, it's really
and
nice.
Should we describe how we're feeling?
Oh yeah.
Right now, I'm feeling curious.
Okay.
I'm feeling excited to be in the studio with you.
Thanks.
And I'm feeling a deep hatred towards Yorkshire puddings. So if we could get a poem that would help summarise how I'm feeling, that'd be great. We'll play it right now.
That's quite a lively mix. That sharp anger in your heart asks for room, not a fight. The Guest House by Rumi, read by Indira Varma, feels right for this.
This being human is a guest house. Every morning a new arrival. A joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture, still treat each guest honorably.
Lovely stuff. Discovered by AI.
It's very neat though, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
very
really,
good.
Really neat.
Thank you very much for that, James.
Yeah.
Nice and one more time, the website is?
Odepoetry.ai.
Lovely. Mm. That is all we've got time for on AI Haven't a Clue. And we're back on Monday with a really interesting interview looking at the mechanics about how LLMs work. Before then, we want to say a big thank you to you for listening. Really appreciate you joining the show.
Thanks.
And if you would like to subscribe and rate us, please do. And tell any friends all about the show if you would like them to find out a little bit more about the world of AI. A huge thanks to Team AI Haven't a Clue.
Woo!
Brilliantly by Molly Carter. James, before we go, remember,
stay curioso.
Oh, and one more thing.
I feel I need to ban the idea of Yorkshire pudding with Christmas dinner. Well, people have it, don't they? Unbelievable.
No!